Pastor Owen,
I like your new steps. That's a blessing.
Thank you, sir.
It's not such a high step, amen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Thank you, Unity, for everything. We appreciate all your provisions and all you've did to make this meeting possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to try to pick back up. We gave you the introduction last night, and I decided last night I preached on I love to tell the story. And so today we're going to try to look at why the gospel's so important. Amen. And we'll go right into the Word of God and just deal with the things that are written here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible says these words. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Give me this. Let's start that all over. There we go. Thank you. Always. All right, let's start that over. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Lord, add your blessings to the reading of your word, and help us to stay on track and give to the people that are gathered here what you have given to us. And may you speak to all of our hearts from the Word of God today. Help us in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. And I won't even do any reviewing this morning. We looked at the different words that were in the first few verses, and we want to deal with just these two phrases, or three phrases, in verses 3 and 4 this morning. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we did establish, and we didn't establish, we just reset it, I guess. I didn't even reaffirm, maybe reaffirms the word, but no doubt the message of messages, the most important message of all, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. It's declared here and it's defined here, and it is that Jesus, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And so, thinking about those verses, that statement, there are three particular aspects of the gospel message. That is the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. We want to look at each of those separately this morning as we think about why the gospel is so important. And I want to look at why his death is important, and why his burial is important, and why his resurrection is important. And we'll try to just give you what we can. If I can't get it finished, we'll get it some other time. Amen. There's a whole lot to this, and I don't mean to go so rapidly through it, but there's a lot of scripture, a lot of ground to cover. And this may be one of those things. When I have time, I may need to try to pray and do some trimming on it or something like that. But some of these things you already know, but we need to hear them again. Amen. But first of all, I want to think about his death and why his death is so important. And so much more could be added to each one of these things this morning. But let me say that Jesus Christ's death is important because the penalty of sin had to be paid. Amen. And we didn't have what was supposed sufficient to pay that. It was going to take the death of a sinless one, a perfect sacrifice. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And as Preacher Langston would say, thank God for that next word, that Holy Ghost conjunction. I never heard that before till I heard. I thought, Holy Ghost conjunction? What in the world is a Holy Ghost conjunction? And I even asked, I said, what's a Holy Ghost conjunction? What makes it different than any other conjunction? He said that when you see a conjunction in the Bible, it's always a Holy Ghost conjunction. For the wages of sin is death. But the Holy Ghost said, hang on, I'm not finished. There's something else here. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the penalty of sin had to be paid. But not only that, the wrath of God had to be satisfied. The wrath of God had to be satisfied. It's what makes His death so important. Now Isaiah 53:10, it said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief, and thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. He shall see His seed and shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By my knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And so the wrath of God is what we were under and what all unbelievers are under. And it had to be satisfied. And as Jesus was hanging on the cross, and after going through all the things the gospel writers describe concerning the things leading up to His crucifixion, the mockery and the spitting, the buffeting, the beating, the whipping, the scourging, and all these things, and it was a terrible sight Isaiah prophesied about that was saw there. But as man and as the world looked upon what had been done to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah said, God not only saw His physical sufferings, but God saw the travail of His soul and said, my wrath is satisfied by His death. Amen. And so the wrath of God had to be satisfied. Not only that, Jesus' death is important because the curse of the law had to be lifted. The curse of the law had to be lifted. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And you think about the wage, you think about the wages of sin, and you think about the wrath of God and the curse of the law. And it as is, and we were as sinners before we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, the wrath of God and the curse of God, the curse of the law, it was hanging over each and every one of us. And God could have just spoke the word and let the wrath of God and the law of God and the curse of God come down and cut our head off and put us in hell and still been God in doing it. Amen. But thank God the death of Jesus Christ took care of all of that according to the scriptures here that we have looked at. And so the curse of the law had to be lifted. And I'm so thankful this morning that Jesus Christ took our wrath and took our curse and paid the price that was sufficient this morning. And you could probably insert this anywhere. And I'm glad some did it last night and some did it this morning and talked about being saved. And you may not ever say anything when you stand up to testify. And I remember back when I first got saved, that very next Wednesday night, the preacher always gave opportunity for folks to testify. Well, I never had testified before, but I wanted to, amen. And then I couldn't say much because I didn't know much, but I said, I thank God for saving me. I said, I love the Lord and I thank Him for saving me. I tell you though, that's a testimony. And I guarantee you this, if you can say at least that much this morning, if you can say, I'm glad I'm saved, mark it down, there's one that you can thank and glorify for it. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one made it all possible. The death of Christ is important because the price of our redemption was so high. The price of our redemption was so high. And you know where I'm going already. How much does it cost to keep a sinner out of hell? How much does it cost to save a soul? Well, Peter said this in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things from your vain conversation received by tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the
the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. But who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And so we were on the slave market of sin. And thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood to pay the price, to buy us, to redeem us. Amen. Hebrews said it like this in Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place. Why? To obtain eternal redemption for us. That's why Christ's death is important, because the price of redemption was so high. Not only that, Christ's death is important because the devil had to be destroyed. The devil had to be destroyed. And you look through the Word of God, you'll see that Satan had taken on many a foe and approached many a man. And he always came out on top. He always was the winner. Satan was. Amen. And he had defeated all men. Every man had fallen into the snares and the trap of the devil. Matter of fact, Romans 3:23, the devil had put his temptations before all men. They'd all gave in. They'd all fallen. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it appeared that the devil was the victor. But I'm glad one day, amen, the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I want to say, thank God, he more than met his match that day. And Jesus defeated him there in Matthew chapter 4. And I think Luke 4 records it in the wilderness. He defeated him with the Word of God through the Spirit of God, but all that climaxed on Calvary, though, when Jesus died. And Hebrews 2:14 puts it like this, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. 1 John 3:8 said that for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus' death, thank God, is important because the devil had to be destroyed. Not only that, but it crowned him with glory and honor. Jesus' death crowned him with glory and honor. And I know there's going to be a lot of things that are coming in the future. And I know, thank God, I'm not against the song that says they'll never crown Jesus till I get there. And all these things are going to take place, we know. But let me say, the Bible declares, though, that he was crowned, let me just read it to you right here, with glory and honor. When he died, Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And if you don't believe that's something glorious and something honorable, it's going on right now as I'm trying to preach here this morning. I'm preaching about the gospel and why Jesus' death is important. And somebody's hollering amen. Somebody's hollering glory. Somebody's hollering hallelujah. His death crowned him with glory and honor. You don't believe me, you get to preaching and testifying about it. See if somebody's hand don't go up. See if somebody's face don't light up. And see if somebody don't say, glory! Amen. His death crowned him with glory and honor. Not only that, but Jesus' death is important because it proves his love for the church. And he said it in Ephesians 5:25, and gave husbands the supreme example of how they are to love their wives. As he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus loves the church. He died for the church. And at his death, he proved how much he loved the church. And so much more could be said. But I won't try to get out of the way. Somebody else might, even Joshua might want to get excited and preach a little bit between his songs or something like that. Amen. And there's many other reasons, but pay close attention to these things as you go through the Bible. And I thought about this. Paul talked about the gospel. He said Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And all the Scriptures he had to use that time was the Old Testament, and they're all in there, all through there, All of these things from Genesis to Malachi were telling us something that was coming. They all pointed forward to the Lord Jesus Christ in some way, shape, fashion, or form. And so be sure and look for Him as you go through the Bible. And not only look for Him, but look for the gospel. Even as you're in the Old Testament, we see it typed and shadowed in many ways and pictured for us. But I thank God for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He did something that I could not do. And I like how the songwriter put it, He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And Lord, help me not to get hung up right here. Help me to give what's needed and help me to understand these things later in Jesus' name. And I just need to pray. I don't want to get sidetracked right here. And there's so much to this. We're still trying to study this. But His death is important. But His burial is important. And I don't know about you. I hadn't been around as long as some of you have. I think this year be 38 years, I believe that's right, in the ministry. And we have heard a lot of preachers on the radio through cassette tapes, CDs, church services, camp meetings, Bible conferences. We've read this Bible. And in all those years and all that preaching and teaching, I think I may have heard two preachers preach anything related to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the burial of Christ part of the gospel? That He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And I don't want to give you so much that you can't comprehend it this morning. I suggest you study the Scriptures pertaining to the burial of Christ. And I was listening to one preacher, one of the two that I heard preach on the burial of Jesus Christ. He was saying, as he read from Matthew's account of the burial of Christ, he said nobody uses these as their life's verses. Nobody writes these down when they sign a Bible or anything like that. But the burial is there. And it is a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know what the Lord has put on Brother Jones's heart, but maybe he can take a few minutes and help you a little bit better and clarify some of these things for if I make too big a mess. But why is the burial of Christ so important? And I got three things that I'd like to share with you. Now, I won't try not to preach them. Let me go to the Scriptures here right quickly. I tell you what, let me see if I can paraphrase and summarize. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all through Acts and the epistles, we see references to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we even see prophecies concerning the burial of Christ in the Old Testament. But let me say this. Why is the burial of Christ important? And let me say that it is the act that signifies the completion of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is, I can't think of the word, there's a transition taking place. While He is buried, those 3 days and three nights in the grave, He's going to transition from humiliation to glorification. Now, you can fill all the gaps in and look in the Scriptures and get a lot of information on that. But His burial signified the end of His earthly and human humiliation and led into His glorification. And so they tell us many things. Let me say the burial of Christ is important because it fulfilled many prophecies, which I don't have time to look at today, but make sure and read Isaiah and the book of Psalms concerning what they had to say about the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of the other prophets as well, but many prophecies. And it's humanly amazing that the enemies of Christ moved and did things. They didn't know the Bible, and if they had known the Bible, they probably wouldn't have cared what it said. Far as they was concerned, those things were things that God had given to the Jews. But many of the enemies of Christ, not even knowing the Scriptures, did things. And all you can say is that's God right there. Why would He move and do this particular thing right here? He don't even know what's going on. But yet, as the enemies of Christ did these things, the Bible records that this was done that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Amen. They didn't know they were fulfilling the Scriptures, but yet fulfilled prophecies were in the burial of Christ. The burial, the bottom line, this right here, the burial of Christ is important. And two things are very, very prominent, I guess, concerning the burial of Christ. Number one, His burial proved that He died. Let me say this. They have coroners all over the place here. The coroner is the one that signs the death certificate. He listens for the air. He's filled for the heartbeat. He checks the pulse, and he don't sign the death certificate until he's sure that person's dead. And there's been some crazy instances in different places where they made a mistake and signed the death certificate when the person wasn't really dead and all that. But let me say, friend, that his 3 days and three nights in that tomb pretty much sealed the fact that he is dead. Of course, now we don't need extra biblical proof for that. We know over and over and over again it says that Christ died for our sins. We just read he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Another place we read that Jesus died. And so Jesus himself testified, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, there in Revelation chapter 1. But his burial is proof that he really did die, because there's a lot of theories, unbiblical theories, floating around, a lot of different stories that's been told by many through the years, and yet the biblical account is so different from all these theories. Jesus died. And as you go through the scriptures thinking about that, think about his own disciples. His own disciples were so excited. The Messiah has come. Now all of our enemies are going to be destroyed. And now we just got to figure out which one of us is going to sit on his left and sit on his right as he sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And when he sits on the throne, I mean, it's a glorious day. And then he died. And they all forsook him and fled. And pretty much at one point, most of them was gathered together in one place. And if you could have went to that place where they were gathered together and said, what are y'all doing here? What do you mean we're doing here? We're hiding. We're hiding out. What are you hiding from? We're hiding from them people that killed Jesus. Well, why are you hiding from them people that killed Jesus? And I'm saying that I know the people didn't kill Jesus. Jesus gave up his life. Jesus breathed his last breath out. As a matter of fact, all this is seen as the soldier came to break the legs of the three on the cross speed up their death process, but they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already. In John 19, that soldier took that spear and thrust it into his side, and forthwith flowed blood and water. Jesus was dead already. I guess they were shocked about that. Come down there and find that he was, you know why he was dead already? Because he said, I'm jumping so far ahead of myself, crossing all this up, it's hard to stay straight. But he said, my Father loveth me because I lay down my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. You say, where's that at? Over in the book of John somewhere. We'll get there shortly, Lord willing. Amen. Where are we at? His burial. His burial is important because it proves to the world that he really did die. And let me say this right here. Not only did his burial prove, let's go back to the disciples just a moment. What are y'all scared about? Well, I mean, things hadn't worked out. I mean, it just hadn't worked out, and we don't know what we're going to do, and we're going to stay here and hiding in fear till we figure it all out. We thought he was the one that they had promised. We thought he was going to set up his kingdom. You say, where'd you get all that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Amen. Where I got it all. Which ones? Go through. You'll find them. They thought he was going to set his kingdom up and thought everything was going to be peaches and roses from now on. But now Jesus is dead. And now we don't know what we're going to do. And we're going to hang out in here and hide till we figure out what to do. And of course, Jesus himself showed up and didn't bother to knock on the door, even come through the door. He just showed up and said, peace be unto you. Maybe that was the second time he showed up when he said, peace be unto you. But getting so far ahead of myself, but thank God it's all one message. Jesus died and he was buried. And not only does his burial prove to the world that he really did die, it removed all natural hope from his followers. Jesus had been giving them little bits and pieces along the way to try to strengthen their faith and try to show them the importance of having faith. And how many times during his life on earth with them did he tell them about these things that were going to take place? They just went right through like he wasn't even speaking at all. Huh? This man who spake like never a man spake. And yet, he was unheard. And I don't mean to throw something humorous in right here, but I always think about the black preacher that was preaching. I'm not making fun, but the black preacher was preaching in a particular place, and he was preaching. And while he was preaching, there was coat racks all across the back of the church. And somebody came in and started taking coats off the racks and going out the door with them. And this black preacher was preaching. And he told the people while he was preaching, he said, somebody's taking y'all's coats and going out the door with them. And so nobody moved. And he just went back to preaching and preached a little while longer. Guy came back for another load. And the preacher paused and said, somebody's taking y'all's coats off the rack and taking them out the door. And nobody moved. He went on back to preaching. And for the third time, he told them, said, somebody's taking y'all's coats. Service ended. Nobody had a coat back there. Everybody was complaining, wondering what happened to our coat. The preacher said, I told y'all three times somebody was back there taking y'all's coats out the door, and none of y'all moved. They said, we thought you was just preaching. That's about how it was when Jesus spoke these words to his disciples and said, I must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and be buried, and after 3 days I shall rise again. He had been trying to teach them, as he does us, about having faith in God, trusting in God. How many times did he tell us things like were quoted last night in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That same thought right there is said many times in many ways in the Scriptures. The Lord teaches us over and over and over again how important it is to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He said, without faith it is impossible to please Him. He gives us examples. He gives us mentions of faith. All He wants us to do is fully trust in Him. He just wants us to wrap ourselves up in Him, if you would. He just wants us to latch on to Him and not let go. He wants us to look to Him and listen to Him. He wants to be everything that we need. He just wants us to trust Him with everything. That's what He was trying to teach the disciples. They didn't, and we don't. God help us. Amen. And they didn't fully trust Him always. We don't always. God forgive us, and God help us, and God help us to latch on to the examples of them. What are you saying? I'm saying the Lord has got them to the place now. They are so afraid, so fearful, and they don't know what to do, and they're just going to have to wait on the Lord to move and do something now. All they can do is trust Him and believe Him, and then Jesus shows up and affirms that to them and speaks peace to them, and He kind of teaches them again. You're going to have to look to me. You're going to have to trust the Word of God. I told you these things. And so you can see all this all the way through there, especially like the Emmaus Road account where He was walking along with the disciples, but they didn't know who they were walking with. But yet, before He revealed Himself, they testified later, did not our heart burn within us while He taught us by the way? And what did He talk about? He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Wonderful account there in Luke 24. His burial removed all natural hope from His followers. Now they have to depend on God. That's all they can do is depend on God. But let me say this right here. His burial confirmed His death. It removed all natural hope from His followers. But His burial was necessary for His resurrection. Amen. He couldn't arose had He not been buried, amen. Had He not died, He couldn't have arisen. So that's why His burial's important, so that the resurrection could take place. I've heard a lot of sermons and lessons and messages about the death of Christ. I've heard a lot about the resurrection of Christ. Thank God, keep preaching them and keep teaching them. But that burial is important also, and I'm still studying these things. Let me say this right here. Now, I don't want to open a can of worms. I can tell you what the Bible says. I hate to admit this. I don't fully understand these things myself, okay? I'm trying. I'm praying. I'm comparing the Scriptures with the Scriptures. But the burial of Christ also is important. I'm on number 3, but I think that's about 7, isn't it? I got to move on. But this is the last one, Lord willing. But His body was due for a rest. His body was due for a rest. You say, well, now I don't even see any important significance in that. Oh, there is. Let me just mention, And we already made mention the fact that he was scourged, he was beat, he was buffeted, he was striped, he was physically abused in every which way possible, and mentally as well, and all these things as they mocked him and spit upon him and crowned him with the thorns and stripped him naked. All these things were done. That body that never sinned, that never sinned, and yet he became sin for us. Yet in his body, Peter said, he bore our sins. That body that never sinned, yet it suffered for it. It was due for a rest. You say, I still don't see it. All right, maybe you will. He had more than a body. Amen. That's why his burial is important, because as that body laid for 3 days and three nights, getting a well-deserved rest, his spirit had already been sent back to the Father. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I commend my spirit. His body was resting. His spirit's gone back to the Father. And that leaves his soul, doesn't it? Where did his soul go? Now, you'll have to do a lot of scripture comparing on this and to save from getting in trouble. I'm just going to read you what the scriptures say right here. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 29, Peter is preaching that first sermon in the book of Acts after they had been endued. Peter's in the middle of his first sermon here, the one where 3,000 got saved. Using the Old Testament scriptures, he said in Acts 2:29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. That is from Psalm number 16. And you say, well, what does it mean? Let me say, when you piece the scriptures together, while Jesus' body was laying in that grave, there was still work being done. He took our sins and buried them, who knows where they belong, wherever the depths of the sea is, wherever the place of forgiveness is, wherever the place from the east is, the west is, and whenever he got down to where he was going, or at least somewhere close by, he found some people that had been looking for him for a long, long time. And he said, time to clean house here. Come on, we're headed to glory. And so he led captivity captive, according to the book of Ephesians. And so he went down to that place that is split up into two separate compartments described in Luke chapter number 16, verses 19 through 31. The one being a place of torment and agony and awfulness, where those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ go, will not get out until the judgment day, when death and hell will deliver up the dead that are in them and be cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But there was another side of that place separated by a great gulf. It's called paradise, I believe, in Luke chapter 16. And so there was Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. No doubt all those that had died in the faith in the Old Testament, they were all there. Jesus went down there, cleaned house, took them out. And now when we leave this body, it's not an enemy. It's not the worst thing that can happen to us. When we leave our bodies today, when our spirit and soul leave our body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. To live is Christ and to die is gain. You say, I know that's a lot to cipher right there. Amen. His burial is important because his body was due for a rest. And somewhere in there is all that about the blood, and a lot of things about the blood that I don't even have time to get into and all that. And somebody said, why don't you talk about his blood a whole lot more? And I tried to preach something along these lines somewhere up in Ohio. And a man came after service. Why didn't you preach about the blood? My soul, I done preached an hour about his death and his burial and his resurrection. Showed you how the blood was tied into it. You can't preach everything in every service, can you? Amen. I thought, man, didn't you see between the lines? He may not have been. He was from north of, well, let me leave out. He was from north Ohio. His burial is important. because of a lot of different things you can study into. Let's look at his resurrection just a moment here. But let me say this concerning the burial of Christ. It also confirms to us and it reminds us that Jesus truly understands every human experience, including death. Jesus knows about death. He can help us through those that we deal with and even facing of our own death. Jesus knows about it. He knows about every human experience. And so, however, because the tomb is now empty, we have the assurance that pain and death have an expiration date. Let's move into his resurrection here for just a moment. Let me look at my time, my soul. I've done used a bunch of it up. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is important. Number one, it proves his deity. It proves his deity. We already quoted to you from John 10, 17 and 18, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus is God. Amen. You say, explain that. I cannot explain that. All right. But the Bible declares that he's God manifest in the flesh, he said in Timothy. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is deity, and his resurrection proves it. No other religious group, no other religious affiliation can claim what Christians can claim. What makes Christians different than all other? I want to use the word religions, though I don't like it, but our Savior lives. Everybody else's founder and beginner and starter and teacher and prophet, they're all dead, and there's a tomb that contains the body. But Jesus is different, and his resurrection proves that he is deity. And so Thomas said this in John 20, 28. You know what Thomas said as he looked on Jesus Christ? And Jesus said, reach hither thy finger, and behold the print of the nail in my hand, thrust forth thine hand, put it into my side. I don't know if Thomas ever did reach out. I don't know if Thomas ever did reach out and touch those nail-pierced hands or put his hand in the side. But I know this, the Bible records, Thomas said, my Lord and my God is what he said. Amen. He became a believer. And Jesus gave us that wonderful promise. Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. Amen. And I know you say you're not quoting them verses word for word. You're getting, I know I'm slaughtering them, but talk to me after service. We'll give you the book, chapter, and verse of these things. Amen. And so what did Matthew 1:23 prophesy? That his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. And so he was called in Isaiah 9:6, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's called the Mighty God. That's one of his titles. He's called the Everlasting Father. That's one of his titles. He's deity, and his resurrection proves it. Amen. And not only that, but his resurrection also gives us hope, and it is our only hope. Now, I'm going to have to leave some of this with you. I read you the first, 11 or 12 verses in 1 Corinthians 15. You can get the rest of these in the rest of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. It's the longest chapter in our Bible that we have. It's the longest chapter Paul ever wrote here. And it's dealing with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the believer. And if you've got questions or issues or wonderings about the resurrection, read 1 Corinthians 15. It'll help you, amen. Read, and you say, I've read it before, but I don't understand it all either. But you know what I try to do? I try to read it again. I try to read it slower. I try to read it more prayerful. And I try to read it and just say, praise God, amen. Resurrection of Christ gives us hope. But now as Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, 1 Corinthians 15:20, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. His resurrection is our only hope. His resurrection gives us salvation. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. It didn't say to write a thesis on it. It didn't say to give an explanation of it right there. Just believe that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. thou shalt be saved. That's the whole purpose of this gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, that we might have eternal life, that we don't have to go to hell, that we can be saved from our sins. Thank God for the gospel. His resurrection gives us salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. His resurrection gives us victory. Jesus' resurrection gives us victory. 1 Corinthians 15:54 down through 57. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' resurrection gives us victory. Jesus' resurrection is important because it'll make us fit for heaven. And by that, I mean it will take us to heaven, and that is wonderful, but it will also make us fit for heaven. And if you tie this in with the scriptures that were just before us here, let me give you this right here. 1 Corinthians 15:50-53. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery in the Bible is a truth that is, it's been hidden. It's not been revealed. Paul said, God is going to let me pull the cover off of this one. I'm going to reveal this mystery to you. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to make it manifest. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And we just read the other scriptures there a while ago, but let me say this, and I'm closing. There's so many other things to be said, but Jesus' death is important. His burial is important. His resurrection is important. His resurrection is going to make us fit for heaven. In other words, if I die and get there before you die and get there, and I don't even like to use that word die. The Bible uses the word sleep right there, but anyway, I know we use these human terms, but amen. Jesus did the same thing. He tried to explain to his disciples when Lazarus died, he tried to explain that Lazarus was sleeping and resting, and they tried to say, well, why do we want to bother him? Why do we want to let him rest? Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. I almost said something human right there. I'd have said, Lazarus is dead, you big dummy. But I don't, Jesus didn't say that. It's not recorded. Jesus said that. But hey, he's dead. Don't you understand? He's dead. But if I get to heaven before you, and you get up there and see me there, and you're going to recognize me, I believe, and you're going to say, well, there's Ricky Burnett. And the thing is, you're going to look at me, and I'm not going to seem out of place. Matter of fact, it's going to be just the opposite of that. I'm going to seem like that I've been there as long as heaven's been there. It's going to be like I belong there. I'm a part of that place. It's going to be as if I have always been there. I'm going to heaven, but not just going to heaven. I'm going to fit in just like I always belonged there. How's that possible? Because I'm going to be changed. Because this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. And thank God for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. I hope that will help you understand a little better why the gospel is so important. God help us to declare the gospel. Amen. And I hope if you declare the gospel that you're declaring something that you've also received, as he said. Well, that's what I had on my mind. Thank you for letting us get it off. I hope you can make sense out of something there. Amen. God bless you.